In the late 1990s, North Philly resident John Phillips owned delis, a tricked-out Lexus, and lived in an upscale condo. Not bad for a young adult, that is, until the legal system caught up with the young hustler and sentenced him to a 7-to-20-year term at Greaterford Prison in Montgomery County. Now, 44 years old, Mr. Phillips is out and leading a much different lifestyle. John Phillips, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
I'm glad to be here, Dave. Thank you also.
Tell me a little bit about the specific temptations and rewards of being out on the street as a young adult in North Philly for you.
First and foremost, I wasn't raised this way. I didn't listen to my parents. My father used to tell me all the time, stay away from the corners, stay away from the drug dealers, you know, but I didn't listen. I was more infatuated with their lifestyle than I was with my dad. Never been to prison, always worked all his life, graduated from Bach High School. My mother graduated from Dobbins. So they both were educated, and I didn't listen to them. So that was the key to my downfall. And I was sitting in class one day at Dobbins Tech, where I went to high school, at one of the high schools I went here in the city of Philadelphia. And I was looking out the window, and I saw a friend of mine whom I watched grow up, and unfortunately he was killed. He was a drug dealer. And I'm looking at his car, and I'm looking at everyone surrounding his car, praising him and stuff. And I'm saying, wow, what I want is not in here. What I want is out there. So I'm looking in the classroom, I'm looking out the window, and I'm figuring, how can I get out there to get a piece of that pie as opposed to staying where I'm at, you know, becoming educated?
John, share up with us, if you will, the specific crime that landed you in prison at Greaterford.
A friend of mine's, a very dear friend of mine's, him and myself, we were shot. And unfortunately, when they apprehended this guy, we attempted to follow his mother home to kill her in broad daylight. Thank God that that did not happen. Obviously, I wouldn't be here with you. The very next day, we went down to the courthouse, and we attempted to follow a brother home, a brother of the, you know, the guy that shot me and killed a friend of mine's. And we attempted to follow him home and take his life in broad daylight on 95. And I was apprehended 2 weeks after he was shot.
Because you were trying to evade the law for that period?
No, actually, you know, we thought the guy died, but he lived. So he lived to tell the cops and the prosecutors how we attempted to take his life in broad daylight. So when they were able to identify myself and others involved in the shooting, then they produced a search warrant and the arrest warrant, and they came to arrest me above my deli. Well, when Judge Benjamin Lerner sentenced me to no less than 7 and no more than 20 years in a state correctional institution in Pennsylvania, it started there. It started there. It was like, okay, this is serious. Like, who's going to run the business? I won't be there to raise my children. This is my first child. We're pregnant with our second child. You know, this is serious.
How did you go about finding a different path, though?
I started paying very close attention to the senseless violence in the city. And we also started paying close attention to how the school district were suspending and expelling and having our children arrested for the simplest things, bringing a toenail clipper to school, things of that nature.
Was this in the abstract, or do you know people who died in North Philly or students who were kicked out for small transgressions?
Well, quite a few of the guys that were murdered in the street senselessly, like dogs and animals, were very close friends of mine. So, you know, I looked at it, well, wow, I'm with this guy a lot. I'm over his house a lot. We hang out a lot. I could have very well been in the car and shot 17 times just like he was, you know. But unfortunately, I was sitting in SCI Greaterford reading about what had happened to him.
Also sitting in Greaterford with you were criminals for the whole gamut of problems, including convicted murderers.
Yes.
Tell us about a specific convicted murderer you encountered named Haroon Fox.
Haroon Fox. One day I was walking to my cell, and Haroon Fox said, Yaya, I want to holler at you. I said, okay. I had no idea what he wanted to holler at me about in jail. You know, when somebody said he want to holler at you about it, it's not because you've been a great guy. It's not because you're my friend. That means, you know, they want to, you know, bring some harm to you. So I went to one of my old heads from North Philly, and I told him that I needed a whack. A whack is a jailhouse knife. And he said, "What's up?" And I told him Haroon wanted to holler at me. He said, "Yeah, you cool. Go holler at old head. You all right. It's not like that." I'm like, "You sure?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm sure." So after he, you know, gave me the green light, I went to, you know, Haroon's cell. And Haroon told me to come into a cell. I'm like, "Okay, here we go." So I go into a cell, and he's standing by the window in his jail cell. I'll never forget it. And he called me over, and he's looking out the window in his jail cell. And his cell, it faces the yard. So the only thing you can see is other inmates in the yard working out, playing basketball, playing softball, football, whatever they're doing. So he goes and says, "Do you see those babies out there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, wait, I see them babies out there. What's up?" He said, "Well, when you go home," and turned around and looked at me and said, "When you get home, I want you to attempt to save these babies' lives." And I said, so I'm being a smart butt. I said, "Which one, Oed?" Because, you know, you don't know what to think. 27 years. I don't know if I was starting to look like Beyonce to him or not. So I'm like, "Well, which one?" He turned around and said, "All of them. Save those babies. Save them from dying in the streets like animals. Save them from coming into the penitentiary like yourself and myself." So what he did was, the very next day, he said, "I want to introduce you to the Lifers Public Safety Initiative." And he took me to the auditorium.
Were you familiar with that program before he mentioned it?
No. I had no idea what the heck he was talking about. Once I got down to the auditorium and I saw the players, I knew, you know, majority lifers, who they were from years of doing time. But I didn't know that they were involved in something so great and significant that would change my life forever.
What was the basis of the program?
Thinking in a new way. It's steps to it. Like, you know, if you sell drugs, you have to carry a gun because drug dealers, you are become victimized by, you know, the stick-up boys or other drug dealers, rivals. So because I don't live that way, I don't have to carry a gun.
How do you live now?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm currently working with the adult mentoring program at Connection Training Services, where they have a pilot grant that they're working with now. They have already have, within the first 6 months, 189 mentees signed up and 89 mentors signed up.
Now, what's the qualification to be a mentee?
You have to be 18 to 26 years of age, either post-release or on parole, and your crime cannot be of a sex crime. That is the qualification.
What's the qualification to become a mentor?
What they're looking in a mentor is positive role models, guys that possess leadership skills. Some of the guys, such as myself, who has been through a transformation process where I have the credibility to assist someone with bettering themselves because I went through the same process. This is the first year. It's a two-year pilot program.
John, out of curiosity, do you ever have moments where you look back and go, "Oh, it's still a temptation to slide back"?
No, Dave. Actually, when I think about some of the things that I did, I wish that I could, you know, be born again. But I am born again. I am reborn again because what the lifers did was they destroyed the old me and created the new me. I have a dual major, a Bachelor of Arts and Social and Criminal Justice and Cognitive Studies. I'm currently in grad school working on my master's degree and Master in Arts and Education, specializing in education and public policy. I would not be in college working on my master's if it wasn't for these guys. So it's so important. It's so important, you know, that they continue to do the work that they're doing because, you know, even if they just save one at a time, that's one that they're preventing from coming home committing heinous crimes in our community, and also one that's going back to greater fruit, that is adding and contributing to the recidivism rate, where you have the parole board saying and the staff saying, "See, we knew it. We know it. That's why we don't want you guys to make parole now, because you're going to come right back, and what you're going to do, you're going to leave here a drug dealer, and you're going to go home and kill three people and then come back for the rest of your life, when we could have just kept you here in the beginning to prevent you from doing that, because you didn't show us anything different."
John, your story is so inspirational. Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks, Dave.